Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 5th. Yes, we should be between the rodeo and the county fair, but not this year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Mike Wilson. Good morning.
Good morning. I am here, ready to talk to you.
To talk. Oh, that's good. All right. Here we go.
How about not to you, but with you?
Yeah. Well, either way, it'll work this morning. Seventh heaven. Mm. Why do we say we're in seventh heaven when we're as happy as we can be?
Does it have something to do with cats?
No. Muslim faith.
All right.
Mohammedans believe that there are seven heavens piled one on top of the other, and that each heaven represents greater happiness than the previous one. God himself and the angels are all located in the seventh or topmost heaven.
I didn't get that in all my years in the seminary, I guess.
Well, maybe next go around.
There you go.
So what is summertime? What are you seeing going on around us for summer? We have tourism that isn't, but we've got gatherings that are. We've got this, we've got that. What kind of sense? What do you see going on now, summertime?
Well, I mean, I think there's we're getting lots of reports of tourism for sure. I mean, to the point where it's kind of freaking out some of my constituents, to be quite honest. And people are kind of feeling put upon a bit in certain areas where they're feeling there's a lot of out of towners coming in and, you know, not practicing good social distancing or masking and those sorts of things. And so we are getting lots of reports of that. We're getting reports of lots of people in the Airbnbs and those sorts of things. And again, there's some stress related to that because we know that a lot of our COVID infections that we're getting and tracing, you know, are coming. Well, of course, they have to come from somewhere, and we do know that they come from travel. However, I will say that even though those are things that are truly things we need to think about and educate our visitors on, you know, how to help keep our community safe and those sorts of things. And maybe at some point we're going to have to really do more to maybe actually discourage some travel into the community if our numbers are getting much higher. But really where most of our infections are coming from are basically locals that are leaving the county and visiting family and friends and gatherings in other places and coming back, and or family and friends of locals coming and having gatherings here. And then that's generally where we're seeing the start. So it's not as much the tourists per se. And one might imagine that, you know, a family that's coming from out of town, they aren't going to get into too much close proximity other than passing someone on a trail or in a store or something like that. You know, there's not a lot of contact time from that sort of thing. But people who are very familiar, both, you know, family and friends, that's really where we're getting, that's where we're getting the flare-ups in terms, for the most part. Of course, there is community transmission possibilities and positives that have happened, but for the most part, that's where it's happening. And so, you know, camping is very popular right now. Obviously, outdoor activities are really popular. You can hardly buy a bicycle from the store. There's lots of bicycles. Yeah, people are buying those up like crazy. And even if you talk to the bike shops themselves, a lot of them are closing early because they're so backlogged in terms of doing repairs. You know, I recently tried to, well, I was successful. I felt like I bought the last foam 8-foot surfboard on the planet. You know, there's just no, the stocks of those are running low. So a lot of the outdoor activities, if you try and find a, you know, used canoe or anything like that, very hard to find, and people are just really doing a lot of outdoor activities. And so I think the lack of the ability to kind of go out in the evenings, coupled with, you know, there's not really any festivals, you know, like you mentioned, there's not really, you know, the the rodeos or the music festivals or all those things are not really happening. And so people are focusing on those outdoor activities. And so they're very popular. So,
I had a conversation with a buddy who's in Nebraska, and they had a rodeo there a couple weeks ago. They had all the top names, all the top bulls and horses, and they had people coming from a radius of about 1,500 miles. You know, they had some Californians there. They had some Washingtonians, as well as some folks from the, obviously from Nebraska and the Midwest area, because it was the only one that had been held. And there were, people were just itching for rodeo. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation, tough scenario that everybody's kind of gotten into. You know, we're accustomed to, like you said, getting outside, but then I hear from some of our law enforcement buddies that you go up to the national park and you can't find a parking spot.
Yeah, oh, it's packed.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Packed in those spaces. And again, I mean, it's on the list of risks that we have in terms of contact, but what we are really finding out is, you know, getting in the same room, indoors, you know, for 15 minutes or more, you know, within that's the kind of contact that's really, you know, the majority of what we're talking about in terms of transmissions. But the thing is people are doing that. I mean, they are, and they're drinking at the same time, which means that you're talking louder, you can't hear as well, which is sort of the physical nature of what happens when you drink. And, you know, transmission is really occurring, you know, pretty rapidly in those spaces. And so that doesn't mean we shouldn't be careful everywhere we're going in terms of the stores and the all those other spaces, but really it's those gatherings, those social gatherings, those barbecues and those other things that are really turning out to be the more our sort of focus of our problem spot.
The challenges, so, yeah. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, before the break there, we were talking a little bit about some of the gatherings, and certainly, yeah, there are guidelines that have been suggested. Okay, 6 feet, but now they're talking for the schools maybe 3 feet. Well, okay, fine. Gatherings, you know, over 25, over 10, you know, inside, outside, all that kind of stuff. Some of the goofy things that I think are getting some of us to kind of scratch our heads, bicycle riding with a mask on. It's like, well, really? Yeah, so driving your car by yourself with your mask on. Okay. So it's kind of interesting just to kind of see how people are either normalizing the stuff or how they are kind of, maybe we're just kind of becoming a little bit more insulated to it and don't realize that we've got a mask on when there's a mask on, instead of, you know, 4 months ago, you know, our glasses were fogging up and we were wondering what's going on.
Yeah, certainly behaviors are changing, and as one might imagine. I mean, you know, so much of what we do every day is just custom and construct. We don't even realize what, you know, how we have, you know, until we visit other cultures and other places, we don't realize often the things we do every day are just created by habits of our surroundings and the situation. And that's how it is now. I mean, you know, there were times in the past where we had to, you know, have laws about wearing shoes, you know, because it was a public health issue. And now people just, for the most part, really wear shoes. It's quite unusual, and people don't. And so we're in that situation now of, you know, modifying our behaviors to adapt to this public health issue, and modifying too to the science, because again, you know, we get more and more information all the time, and we're modifying based on what we know and what we don't know.
Right. I think with Fauci saying he thinks it's gonna there'll be a virus by the end of the year. Now I'm hearing people saying, okay, well, we've only got another 5 or 6 months here, and then it's all going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
It's like, no, even if you have a shot to take, that's not a cure-all.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm a little concerned about the chase for perfection. Do you sense that that's starting to work its way into this, or are we going to say, okay, there's an acceptable risk, and if you take the shots, or you know, if there is an inoculation and it's available, and you have a certain percentage over that, okay, we're still this thing is still going to be around, but it's going to be maybe in moderation rather than with these flare-ups that we've been experiencing.
Again, yeah, well, you know, I'm not a public health official, and I'm not a doctor. But what I do know is that, you know, these actions that we're moving towards, or what we're trying to get to is get past this. But there, in many ways, we don't know what past it will really mean. We just keep basing it on the past. And so, you know, we do know that wearing masks or facial coverings really does work in this transmission element in terms of blocking transmission. None of these things, you are correct, none of them are perfect. We are always imperfect in all these, and this is all about statistics. And so we are trying to reduce our impact. But a lot of times where it seems like a little bit ridiculous here and there because maybe we feel like we know everything, you know, really, it's about habits. And for instance, I really think that, you know, after we get past, you know, most of whatever this is, and hopefully that's, you know, sooner rather than later, certain habits will probably stick with us. I can imagine that in schools, it will become normalized that when kids are having runny noses or coughs or anything, those kind of cold symptoms, they'll either be really asked to stay home, or wearing a mask during school will not be something that people will, or even in, or work or other places when if you're feeling a little bit like, you know, you might have something, that people will normalize that, right? And so there will be, we will see more normalization of some of the habits we're going to have. And some people don't like it. Some people, oh my God, change, no, I don't like that. But, you know, we've lived with change. You know, we're human beings in our constructs of how we live today. It's nothing like it was 100 years ago. It's nothing like it was 200 years ago and beyond. So we're always in that movement forward. So I just keep encouraging people to be flexible, to be polite, you know, try and experiment with these changes as best you can. And understand that the efforts are really trying to protect, you know, all of us, not just yourself, but everyone around you. There are vulnerable people in our community, and there's people that we don't even know are vulnerable, and we're finding that a lot more now. You know, with 20% of the of the positive cases in some communities, with, you know, having hospitalizations and having, you know, a majority of those having actually permanent damage to heart tissue and things like that. I think, you know, if we concentrate too much on the death rates and not really the long term health impacts, that some of which we know and many of which we're learning about, you know, we're not going to grasp sort of the fuller impact. And so,
yeah, but it's not as sexy.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't play as well as a lead story. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but you're right.
Heart
you're right. Some of the lingering.
It's not sexy. It's true.
Right. Well, yeah. Sometimes the truth is just flat out is boring. You know, kind of like this show every once in a while. Sometimes it's just flat out boring, but you got to hang in there. KINS, not you specifically, Mike, this show. Yeah. It's 8:30.
I try.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Mike Wilson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Mike, you'd used the word vulnerability in 20%, and that struck a chord with me because I think one of the things also that's being discovered is the vulnerability of the local business community. And I've seen numbers that show somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 40%, it's still pretty broad, of all restaurants that are shuttered are not going to reopen. That there's just not that much margin, and a lot of these folks are doing it for the passion of the food and the passion for their customers, and they just don't have that wherewithal. When you look at some of the changing landscape culturally in our area, obviously the business community is part of that landscape as well.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, you know, the United States, I would say, has a special vulnerability in that as well as compared to maybe other, you know, first world nations. And in that the small business has, you know, it's tough to deal with certain things like this. And I will, you know, touch on a subject which has to do with, you know, our health system. And part of why we have a bit of a harder time in sort of the small scale entrepreneurship is because, you know, it's harder to take on that risk of getting sick and paying for that insurance and those sorts of things. And so that's one of the risk factors that we're seeing now playing out in the small business world and currently. And so, you know, that's a tough one for folks. It's an expense. It's an ongoing expense they can't get out from under. And
kind of like payroll tax is kind of the same thing too. Yep. You know, I mean, it's just, there are those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the payroll tax though, kind of, you know, that's if you're having payroll, you pay the payroll tax, but
sure.
If you don't have a payroll, there's no payroll tax, but you still have to pay your health insurance. Right. And so that part is an ongoing expense that makes it, you know, pretty hard to hibernate a business for very long. Just add it to the list of things. I will say, you know, that and when you're talking restaurants in particular, I mean, you know, that's a vulnerable space to be. It's already a hard, low margin job, and man, I am thankful for all of the folks that work in that space, because I have to say, like, I mean, our restaurant community, along with our, you know, bars and entertainment, you know, that's our social fabric, right? You know, that's how we interact with each other on so many levels, and we're really missing that. And so I'm encouraging everybody, if they can, you know, get out and order that to-go food from your favorite restaurant or any restaurant, you know, and really concentrate on the local restaurants. They're going to need it more. I mean, I know people like those fast food chains here and there, and but to understand, you know, those systems have a lot of backup, you know, to support them.
Some of them do, but like the franchise operators, those are local guys also. It just has a brand on it that is nationally recognized or international.
Versus
a company store, and that's a little different dynamic, you know, retail side.
Small restaurants, they don't have they just don't have like the backup, right?
Right,
it just doesn't exist. And so I really encourage people to go with their small businesses where they can. Even the supply chains, when you're thinking about, you know, order office supplies for your house or your small business, really think about your local suppliers. Think about your local suppliers for all those things. And this is the time when, you know, yeah, it may be a little extra. It may actually cost you a little bit more, but in time, and often it really doesn't. I mean, you know, they'll match prices almost all the time. But I would say it's really worth it not to do Amazon as much as possible, not to do the big chains as much as possible, because this is the time when we need to support the smaller businesses, or they won't exist. You know, these are very stressful places for them.
Yeah, I wrote down a simple, easy phrase. I don't know if it's going to be getting any traction or not. Avoid the internet.
Avoid the internet.
You know, that kind of clarifies it for me pretty darn quickly that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to drive somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, and before we distract or get away too much from, you know, the, you know, always on the COVID issue, but understanding that, you know, there were some reports last week that came out that talked about, you know, there was a reporter that talked about, you know, Humboldt County. It was, I think it was in Bloomberg, and he had written about, you know, the confessions of a public health nurse. And one of those things in there was her difficulty in getting people to, as doing contact tracing. And contact tracing is when, you know, if we know of some people who've had COVID or have COVID, and then tracing their contacts so that we can get ahead of where it's at in the community. You know, there has been some resistance in the community to respond to those public health nurse inquiries. And I really want to encourage people, it's very, very important. It's our community duty to, if the public health nurse calls you and asks you about those things, it's absolutely important to be as open and understanding and give as much information as possible so that we can prevent the spread as much as possible. And I just want to, like, make sure that people hear that message and that those interactions are confidential, and they're confidential for a reason, so that, you know, you can trust that that information is just used to help, you know, track down folks that may have the potential to spread this within our community and help them get, you know, get cured and move forward without putting other people at risk. So please, if you get a call, be as helpful as you can.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Final segment of this show with Mr. Wilson. Mike, as you look at some of the different numbers that are coming across, the economic impacts, you're starting to see some of those. I've seen some statistics that show that a lot of national businesses that were holding back are now starting to release. What is the legislative analyst that you guys contract with at the county? What are their projections for the economy in California over the second half of this year?
Well, I haven't seen their projections since the GDP estimate came out last week. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, those GDP numbers were, what is it, like -30% or something? Which, I mean, the Americans, we have a very weird way of looking at GDP. GDP is what it is for the last quarter, projected over the next three quarters, and then that's that third -30% number. So really, over the last quarter, the GDP drop was about 9%, which is still by itself the biggest drop in GDP in American history.
Yeah, since they've been tracking it. Yeah,
and I mean, but there is, I think what you're referencing is, like, a lot of that is what people believe to be is to be in suspension. You know, that basically things are on hold, and that they'll just come bounding back. I am not so sure about that. It might, we'll see, economic indicators move in different directions. And we were seeing literally migrations of people from the cities to other places happening right now. We have real estate pendings, I think, are up, 19% or 16%, something. It's like the biggest jump that they've had since they've been taking the records. And I think that was extremely unexpected.
I think the only thing that we were anticipating was the Paradise and the Santa Rosa guys coming up, after the fires and stuff. Yeah. But this is an additional layer on top of that.
Yeah, and so what you're seeing is a dramatic division in our economy, too, because, while you're seeing this huge unemployment occur, this is a huge division that's even becoming wider between, what we classically call haves and have-nots, in that, the working folks who are becoming unemployed at unprecedented rates, and then the, white-collar class or and above are basically, solidifying and basically diversifying their assets in many ways, and in some ways they're also migrating in different ways. So it's really hard to tell where these things are going. So I'm not an economist. I'm just a avid podcast listener. So I try my best to look at those things so that, helping me in decision making in terms of how we move forward the economy. Because, as we look at, what we're trying to save, and we do want to save things, but often saving is a backward-looking viewpoint, and really maybe we should be looking forward,
right,
and what are
right.
we promoting as opposed to what we're saving.
Yeah, that whole dichotomy is really challenging, particularly if the sands are shifting underneath you like we have been experiencing. Hey, thanks for coming by this morning.
Hey, well, thanks for virtually having me come by there.
That's right. Hey, and I'll virtually have a glass of water for you.
I love my bubbly water, but, no mango or apricot.
There you go. All righty, Mike. See you in September. Thanks for coming by. All righty. Bye-bye.